This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing Real Clear Politics about the present circumstance of disorder in the land, cultural disorder, driven by new language. However, I observed there was new language in 1969 when I was disordered as a youth at Princeton University. And Peter, before we go to Rousseau, I want to confess, I attended a Herbert Marcuse lecture. Herbert Marcuse was at the time, and still, a very famous philosopher who would combine what you'd have to say Marxism and the modern version of criticism of capitalism. So it was Marxist Absolutely. Up to date. I did not understand anything at the time, but this is the depths of the Cold War. We had bombers overhead every day. So, and Marcuse commanded great authority on the campus from the SDS and the other protesters. Would that now still be the same if the Herbert Marcuse scale philosopher showed up on a campus? Would he be celebrated the way I remember that night?
Well, I don't think so, because there's nobody today that off the top of my head can think of who was regarded as so seminal, so central, so leading a figure as Marcuse. On the other hand, Marcuse's ideas have triumphed, and to a considerable extent, what he was famous for introducing into the academic world in the mid-1960s is become the default option on campuses today. Namely, as you recall, John, the doctrine of repressive tolerance. What is the doctrine of repressive tolerance? To put it in simple terms, which he usually refrained from doing, the traditional teaching of tolerance is that in a free society, we permit a wide diversity of views to be expressed. We only have very wide limits on freedom of speech. And we tolerate not only different kinds of speech, but different forms of life, consistent with the like liberty for others. Marcuse's view was that this was a very bad arrangement, because it allowed false and pernicious doctrines and institutions to arise. For example, capitalism, free market, and it allowed people to express false and harmful opinions, like conservatives. So in the name of human flourishing, Marcuse favored cracking down and forbidding the expression of wrong opinions and crushing harmful institutions. And this he's continued to label tolerance, but he accurately did label it repressive tolerance. And that view that we must crush wrongthink is, as you know, very common on
campus. Yes, very common.
Today.
Now, did Marcuse derive, or is this an independent stream from your observations about Jean-Jacques Rousseau in the 18th century, the social contract?
There is a stream of thinking that runs from Rousseau in the middle of the 18th century through Karl Marx in the middle of the 19th century to critical theory imported from Germany to the United States in the middle of the 20th century. And they all roughly agree that in Rousseau's language, Marx certainly accepted this, that man is born free, but he is everywhere in chains. What kinds of chains? These are, in a sense, metaphorical chains. They are the chains of custom and tradition. Therefore, what people vote for and the preferences they express in where they choose to live, whom they choose to marry, what the God they choose to worship, and so on. All of this reflects false consciousness. Therefore, it becomes the task of government to make choices for the people. But we shouldn't understand this as anything other than the truest freedom and the purest democracy, because the people who, the elites who really understand what the people want, are ruling on behalf of the people, even though the laws, the requirements, the redistribution, the repression they're imposing on the people seem to the people as contrary to their interests, as onerous, as oppressive.
And therefore, I attended this lecture, but now I'm glad to learn what I didn't learn at the time. I was attending the first conversations that we now see in fruition where people are canceled. Cancel culture. That's what I was attending. Vouchsafing
yes, right.
Cancel culture, because the higher goal, the radiant future, what is the goal of repressive tolerance?
The goal is a society of perfect equality and freedom. But to achieve perfect equality and freedom, ordinary people have to be purged of their mistaken ideas, their bad habits, their beliefs about duty, honor, virtue, what God wants from us, and so on. So in other words, in the name of a utopian future, we face a dystopian present in which rules are dictated to us from on high.
The puzzle for me, Peter, and we just have a couple of minutes, is this theme always with us and now and again it breaks through and takes over and then the reaction to it is so adamant. We see that in polling here and in Europe. The reaction to it is so adamant, it quiets down again for a while and then comes back up. Is it always present on university campuses? If we can date it to Rousseau, we're talking about the Enlightenment.
Yes. So I think the best way to think of it is a permanent and very dangerous temptation within Enlightenment thought. Enlightenment thought is associated with individual freedom. The American Constitution approaches that in one way, in my view, a magnificent way, which is it imposes limits on government and gives government a primary task of securing individual rights. People get to choose. The temptation that grows up at the same time within the Enlightenment sphere is if you want true freedom, then you need a powerful government that emancipates people from their mistaken views and prejudices and so on. So, yes, as long as we have free societies, this extremely dangerous and destructive temptation will be with us.
And right now we're observing moments where it is now dominating the conversation. Is that a way to interpret the disorder that we see between the parties, between states and the union? The pandemic has exacerbated it.
Yes, I think that's a fair way that we are. Too many of us at this moment are succumbing to the Rousseauian temptation.
Peter Berkowitz, writing most recently at the Real Clear Politics. Peter's at the Hoover Institution about the language of anti-establishment thinking. I mentioned that the university in 1969 was very far from here, but student life. It dominates because those young men and women of 1969 are now senior officials and, in many instances, emeritus professors on the campuses that see the disorder. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bashan.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Bachelor.